It's time for Helping Hand, where each Friday we put the spotlight on those advocating for the disabled and most vulnerable, and this week we're returning to the topic of a vulnerable animal, the rhinoceros. I'm Dave Lawrence, and it's Vietnam we're off to. That's where Prince William traveled this week, giving voice to the rhinos in a direct appeal to the Vietnamese people to stop consuming rhino horn and stop the extraordinarily violent killings. Vietnam is threatened with sanctions for their role in causing the rhino extinction crisis, and it's in Vietnam where we reach our guest today. Traffic is an NGO working globally on behalf of wild animals and plants, an alliance between the World Wildlife Fund and the IUCN, the International Union for Conservation of Nature. They've recently launched the second phase of their CHI, or Strength of Will Initiative, to change behavior and decrease demand for rhino horn there. And from Hanoi, the country director for traffic in Vietnam, Madeline Willemsen. Aloha, Madeline. Thank you very much for joining us.
Very good introduction, David. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Let's start with some background on your efforts.
I've always had a keen interest for rhinos. They're beautiful animals. They're very gentle giants, and that's why it's so easy for them to be slaughtered and have their horns cut off. But what really drives me in this job is trying to address the crime that is associated with this, work with governments to change their norms when it comes to allowing and almost reinforcing criminal activities such as rhino horn trade.
How many rhino horn users there do you think know it's just made of keratin, like hair or fingernails, and doesn't have any medicinal properties?
We think that a lot of people do get that point, but that understanding doesn't drive the motivation. Vietnam, Asian cultures, knowledge is transferred more through peer groups than through schooling systems. And especially in Vietnam, if somebody of more authority tells you that this is true, you will take that as knowledge. You won't go and find out what the real answer is. And we know from the most prolific rhino horn consumers, which are the businessmen here in Vietnam, only 6% believes that rhino horn actually has medicinal purposes. Vietnam is one of the most prolific consumers. There's lots of rhino horn being trafficked between the borders of China and Vietnam. When the Vietnamese status of living increased, the GDP started rising around 2009, poaching increased about 6,000%. Clearly correlated to that, traditional medicine practitioners openly sell it. The Vietnamese government made it illegal, so it must be done in privacy, but lots of open trade. I can go to the local shop and ask in English, do you have rhino horn? People will sell it to me. It takes about 48 hours for a horn to arrive from butchering the animal in Africa to arrive here in Vietnam. If you're really wealthy, you demand an ear and a tail and a photo of the dead rhino so you can show your friends that you are really wealthy and of high status to have this done for you. That's a really worrying and nasty part of society that we really need to address.
They will demand an ear, a tail, and a photo of the animal that's been murdered to provide it.
Correct.
Explain how Traffic's CHI, or Strength of Will Initiative, works.
People that consume rhino horn, it's not all people, because there are a lot of people in Vietnam that do very much care about this as well. But the rhino horn consumers do not care about animals being slaughtered, animals going extinct. That's why Traffic develops an evidence-based approach, has five steps. The first two steps are very much about understanding what is their motivation. From there, you start looking through social marketing techniques, what would increase the barriers for them to change the behavior and increase benefit for them as well. They only care about the status. And that's the most prolific group of rhino horn consumers. That is the wealthy businessmen that use rhino horn as an opportunity to buy respect from superiors by gifting it, to go out with friends and be impressed by their friends that can have rhino horn to drink for a hangover. From there, we would develop a behavior change strategy. Vietnam has very weak law enforcement in place. People that consume rhino horn wouldn't be prosecuted. Even if there is confiscations taking place, less than 1% gets prosecuted. So we develop a behavior change strategy that is really targeted, and that became CHI. CHI is very much about the strength comes from within. You do not need to consume any other product to become successful. You do not give Ryan a horn because it actually gives you less respect. We had four key messages in the first stage about masculinity, business success, being a successful man in life are really much based on your own strengths and not an external property such as Ryan a horn. That message touched them. Throughout the first and the second phase, we're trying to get some champions, wealthy, successful businessmen in Vietnam to drive that message because people look up to these people. We've also developed a whole range of tools that engages the business community, a corporate social responsibility guide, which is really focusing on the zero tolerance to rhino horn consumption and showing the benefits because it actually makes their business better. It increases the value of their business. It increases their bottom line. So we deliver a very wide package of behavior change messages and work closely with government trying to engage the public and the businessman community.
Again, it's Madeline Willemsen, country director of traffic in Hanoi, Vietnam, where Prince William went this week to fight for the rhinos. Madeline, if there were stronger penalties for rhino horn use, like life in jail or worse, do you think that would help?
Definitely. And it's really important law enforcement is used as a barrier. All the steps of the supply chain to the end consumers, they're all involved in illegal behavior. They should all be prosecuted to increase the risk to any of these criminals, including the consumers, to really discourage either the poaching, the trafficking, or the consumption of rhino oil. Unfortunately, Vietnam, their laws and regulations are extremely weak. The penal code actually allows up to 50 grams of rhino horn and up to 2 kilos of ivory not to be a criminal offense. While there is no law enforcement in Vietnam, and while the Vietnamese government isn't really prepared to accept Vietnam is a key player, behavior change is really our only tool here in Vietnam. And finding the right government officials that are really wanting to drive and work with you. And there are plenty of them, but then there's some really rotten ones as well.
I have no doubt.
We've had a very successful businessman because the CHI campaign is a very targeted behavior change initiative. It's very much about bringing the right message to the right people. There's lots of other people that have aligned themselves, given their name to our initiative to encourage businessmen that would admire their strengths. Vietnam is a very hierarchical-based society. You're not taking on advice or direction from somebody younger than you. We did an event with the Ministry of Health in a very conservative area in Vietnam. The local traditional medicine administrator was there, and his daughter, she said, well, my father practices traditional medicine, and he prescribes rhino horn. And I said, oh. She said, I tell him that this is not the right thing to do. But her father doesn't change his behavior. And even during that workshop, we had him and his six other companions of that department basically crossing their arms saying, yes, rhino horn has a very important place in the traditional medicine, which is entirely untrue. So even though children are important, they're not going to be the vehicle in Vietnam that is going to change this urgent crisis of poaching rhinos.
When it comes to the individuals, they don't have any kind of sense of personal responsibility that a creature is suffering in this way to acquire the horn.
Short answer, no. Vietnam is very much still a developing country, continuously conflicted between a Confucianist and Asian culture to aspiring to be a Western culture. Suffering of animals isn't very high on the list of concerns here in Vietnam. Just to give you a quick example, people eat dog meat here. There is this wivetail that a dog needs to be suffering for its meat to be nice and tender and tasty. So what happens in some of these dog restaurants is that these dogs are being beaten with sticks and being butchered and put on the barbecue. The other thing is bear bile. There is bears, Asian black bears, sun bears and moon bears being kept in tiny cages, and they have a catheter stuck in their stomachs to milk the gallbladder. In regards to rhinos, like I said, really affluent people get a till and an ear and a picture of a killed rhino. There is some evidence through our qualitative surveys that it actually makes these consumers feel powerful. Look what we've done. We have so much money. I've got so much status and control that I can have an animal that is big and beautiful butchered. So it's actually completely the opposite from what we think.
It really is upsetting. Is the rhino horn arriving in Vietnam through private consumers, or is there some level of government complicity?
It's even worse. There is level of consumption within government consumption of rhino horn. Rhino horn is often gifted to superiors to gain a favorable relationship. It shows how powerful you are. So government officials fall into place with this, and it's embarrassing to find out high local police commissioners are married to the biggest wildlife trader. There is lots of corruption of local and national government leaders. There has been great improvement by the Vietnamese government, but if their first response is to say, how can we deny these reports? How can we deny these facts? You must have not done your research right. It's really disappointing because it doesn't give you any room for improvement. I'm doing as much behavior change, not only for consumers, but also for government. You need to accept that it's happening before you can address it, and that isn't happening yet in Vietnam, unfortunately.
For the thousands of people who are listening to this as they drive home, what's happening to the rhino, and quite frankly, that the cause of it is in the Asia Pacific, where we are located. Mm. When it comes to helping traffic, whether it's sharing things on social media, donating cash to your mission.
Rhinos are vastly on the path to going extinct because of this demand. Trying to change behaviors of targeted audience is quite costly. So if people would like to support this financially, or even skills and expertise volunteering here, people that have designer backgrounds and can help us produce brochures, that would be of extreme help. Because we are such a spread organization, contacting the Vietnam office would make sure that that money is used particularly for addressing behavior change and help to reduce demand for rhinos. And of course, make your friends aware. There's lots of Vietnamese people in America, and it would be great if people can have a chat to their friends and find out if they understand what their family in Vietnam is doing, if they can influence their family. So if you know somebody Vietnamese, have a chat to them about it and try to encourage them to change their behavior. Tell them the whole story, because especially the people that live in the USA and in Australia, they have a different perspective. They have a very wealthy life already. They can make different choices than some of the people here in Vietnam, quite restricted in their culture when it comes to relationship building. Very important. Relationships are key, and that is what is driving this consumption. There's lots of different things people can do.
All of the following contact info and all of our Helping Hand segments can be found at hawaiipublicradio.org, but it's traffic online at traffic.org to learn more. Contact the office in Vietnam directly to offer financial support or volunteer your skills or efforts to defend the rhinos by reaching their communications officer, Nicholas, nicolas.vienot@traffic.org. Again, their contact information and the complete nearly hour-long interview are online at hawaiipublicradio.org. Just look for Helping Hand under the news links. The country director for traffic in Vietnam, Madeline Williamson, on behalf of all the innocent rhinos you're fighting for and ourselves for giving us your time today, thank you very much. Don't hesitate to be in touch, Madeline.
Great. Thank you very much, David. Your support, and I hope the listeners' support, is going to be very important, because we all need to get together. We can't do it alone. And like you said, I do it for these animals as well. Thank you.